coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly.
Thank you for listening to Lutherband Radio UK, and welcome to today's episode of Worth Doing Badly with me, Jamie Krieger, and David Weber joining me from the United States. On today's episode, we will look at the lessons for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And the readings are Amos chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and then 10 through 15. The Psalmist 90, verses 12 through 17. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 19. And the Gospel reading is from Mark 10, verses 17 through 22. And here once again is David Weber. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Jamie. 20th Sunday after Pentecost brings us in our progress through Mark to the 10th chapter, where Jesus has an encounter with what's called a rich young man, and he rebuffs the man for calling him good teacher, which is just kind of an honorific title, maybe a throwaway line. But Jesus takes it seriously because everything that will follow turns on the man understanding what good and goodness mean. And Jesus refused to let the young man call him good teacher because he recognized that the man had not yet understood that God is the source and the destination of all good. Now, I'll explain that what that means, because the man would have acknowledged, in fact, does acknowledge that God is the source of all good, but he lets it stop there. He doesn't understand that God has an aim for his gifts of goodness, that they serve a purpose. In other words, good is good, not because it is good in itself. Good is good because it originates as a gift from God, and its aim is to draw us back to God. So the rich man, as I said, he confessed understanding that God is the origin of goodness and that God gives goodness as a gift. What he didn't understand is the nature of that gift, that God gives us this gift in order to draw us to himself. And he draws us to himself by both giving and taking away his good gifts. That's what Job understood. God gives, God takes away, and all the time these gifts are aimed at bringing us into his presence freely. Now, because the man misunderstood God's gift of goodness, it warped his understanding of money. And that's why Jesus goes directly to money, because that is the one point in which the man's misunderstanding was most obvious. And Jesus told him, if you understand your good wealth is a gift, then you will donate that gift to the poor. You will act as God acts in giving freely to those who do not deserve it. That's the problem with this gift. God gives us these gifts to bring us into his presence. And once we're in his presence, you cannot help but having that presence rub off on you. If you get in the presence of a warm fire, you get warm. If you get in the presence of water, you get wet. You get in the presence of God, you desire to be godly. And if God is known by his gift of grace, then becoming godly is participating that as both the recipient of the gift and as one who gives. So this decisive donation that Jesus commanded could only be done if the man first understood that the world's origin is a gift and that that gift is a means to draw us in. It's not ours. God doesn't give us a gift and then say, this is totally yours. God gives us this gift, as we've been repeating, to bring us into his presence. So if this rich man was going to be drawn to the goodness of God, Jesus determined for him that he needed to donate all his money as a gift to the poor. The man saw God's gift of money as good, but he could not see God's command to give that money to others as good. So he misunderstood the goodness of God. So, and what's clear is he understood neither goodness nor God. So some say the rich young man was Mark, the author of this gospel. And if that is true, then Jesus understood that to command that young man to donate would not drive him away. It did temporarily, but it actually, if it's true that the, that this is Mark, his command to donate drew him to return to Jesus because he finally came about, came to recognize Jesus as God and Jesus's teaching as good. There's a lot there. And so we have to move on to the other text to see what light they cast on it. And the psalm says that we should teach us, that we praise to God to teach us to count our days rightly so that we understand what wisdom is. So in other words, our sense of goodness is that it is temporary and that if you count the days, the days both give goodness and they take them away. So in other words, the Psalms says you want to understand the nature of goodness, then you have to puzzle over the most puzzling part of human experience, and that's the movement of time. So we know that anxiety is a fear that the goodness of life unravels over time. That's why we get anxious about the future, because we think as time moves to the future, it will take away the goodness that we have. And despair is the certainty that life will, in fact, unravel. And that is absolute, and that is absolutely deadening. Against anxiety and despair, the psalmist prays that God would teach us to understand our days and time. Why? Because hope also looks at time and doesn't see anxiety and despair. Hope sees the unfolding of time as the unfolding of all that God promises. God promises to continue to be the God who is the giver of all good things. Hence, when in the morning, the psalmist said, he experiences all of the satiation of God's gifts, of God's kindness, it doesn't cause him to worry about the future and anxiety and despair. No, it says it causes him to, quote, sing and rejoice all our days. The gifts that God gives, both that he gives and that he takes away, aim at causing us to be the source of joy and singing and rejoicing. The psalmist recognizes that God's goodness is never meant to satisfy him. God's goodness rather increases his desire to be in the presence of God's, of God. And this is especially true in affliction, that the goodness of God works in a good way when it draws us to desire God's presence and desire to enjoy this presence forever. So now we go to Amos rather. And Amos takes a very direct approach to as to what happens when God's goodness is divorced from life. Once we turn God's gift into a possession, Amos says that goodness becomes wormwood. Now, wormwood was a demonic character in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. And he was a character whose whole aim in life was to increase human bitterness with disappointment and grief. That's what in literature wormwood is. It's a bitter plant. And when it's used, it's there as a metaphor for life's bitterness. And this is what Amos says. When God's goodness is disconnected from God, it loses its purpose and it loses its goodness. And that which comes to us as good becomes a source of bitterness because we become disappointed that it doesn't do what it promises. Over time, the goodness of a good thing diminishes, and it fails, and it continues to fail to fulfill us in the way that we thought it promised. And this bitter disappointment, Amos becomes very specific. It comes out in people who enjoy taking advantage of others by, says Amos, trampling the poor. There are some people who utilize others just because it's easy to do. But when bitterness becomes a part of their life, they like to increase the unhappiness of others because they themselves are unhappy. They also despise the truth and see the truth as an enemy of all goodness. And for nothing else, they live for the thrill of taking bribes. In other words, when goodness disappoints them, they choose to do the opposite of the good and to exploit and take advantage of others. So Amos called on his hearers to once again see God's goodness as a gift. And when his goodness is accepted as a gift that we receive with rejoicing and that we lose with rejoicing, then is revealed the amazing truth that the Lord of armies refuses to use force to bring us into his presence. This is the remarkable thing. God has the power to force us to do whatever he wants, but he refuses because he chooses the more inefficient way of drawing us to himself by having us experience the good of his creation. Then we go to Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews recognizes that when you live in a good world, it is a dangerous world. God's goodness is so good that it can repeatedly distract us from seeing that good as a gift. We get enamored with the utter goodness of this thing, and it's so easy to be deceived and to forget that that gift came from someone and was designed to do something that God desires. Now, the goodness of God's world is so good that it can keep us in complete a state of amnesia about where this good gift came from and what it's for. So the writer of Hebrews says we have to daily remind ourselves that goodness is a good thing because it originates as a gift from God. And it's a good thing because it has a purpose in drawing us so that we will willingly come into God's presence. And in that presence, come to recognize that we are in the presence of the one whose good lives forever. It doesn't stop the fact that good is dangerous, because it can and does lead us to imagine that the good would be so much better off if it was detached from the giver. The good would be so much better off if I determine how it's to be used and not how God determines. But that is the formula for turning the good into wormwood. Then what makes the thing good when we divorce it from God is it's good because it's mine. It's good because I do it. It's good because I have control of it. And that, again, as Amos makes clear, is the formula to turn that good into something deeply disappointing. So Amos rightly saw that the source of the world's bitter disappointment was this wrong attitude towards goodness. And it seems that there's a sense that Jesus understood at the time that the man's love of money in the gospel would become a source of bitterness, that Jesus just trusted that the progress of time would lead this earnest young man to an understanding that what he expected from his money did not, in fact, deliver. And that bitterness would draw him back slowly to want to be in the presence of God, to receive God's gifts, both to be received and donated to others.
Thank you, David, and thank you for listening. All the podcasts from this series, Worth Doing Badly, are available from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the one that is right for you for free. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other programs on our schedule, write me an email to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. David and I will be back next week at this same time. Stay on for more here on Lutheran Radio UK.